Welcome to Manager Tools. This is Sarah.
And this is Mark.
Today's podcast, Why Scheduling is the Most Important Component of One-on-Ones, Part 1 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, do I really need to schedule my one-on-ones? Does scheduling one-on-ones improve their effectiveness? Do bi-weekly or monthly one-on-ones work?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Before we get started, did you know Manager Tools will host, for your organization, virtual training so that your company, people that are distributed all over the globe, can learn our topics together? Learn more by checking us out at manager-tools.com. Now, to the show. When we tell managers at our effective manager conferences all over the globe, essentially, that scheduling one-on-ones is more important than the frequency of one-on-ones, they're often shocked, astounded.
Yep.
And everyone's always got questions about weekly or bi-weekly or monthly, but scheduling is actually the core value of Manager Tools one-on-ones. Many managers say they cannot schedule them because of their operational tempo, or I'm worried I'm going to schedule them and then they're always going to get rescheduled. And there's plenty of reasons not to want to schedule, but scheduling one-on-ones is just like scheduling the rest of your week. It's not about rigidity. It's about your priorities.
Okay, here's our outline. We've got 4 points, and we're going to get into some pretty good detail about data here. So the first item is what the data say about scheduling, and we've got data. Then we're going to talk about what directs say about scheduling, some of which comes from interviewing directs in both scheduled and unscheduled one-on-ones. Third point that's really important that Sarah mentioned in the intro, that scheduling does not mean rigidity. We're not saying you have to have it at that time. And we'll tell you what the differences are if you do and don't. And it's surprising. And the actual basics of scheduling are really easy, and we'll end with that.
All right. So let's start with what the data says about scheduling. And when we first gathered this data, gathering the data about the effectiveness of one-on-ones altogether, we had no idea that scheduling was the most important component in ensuring that these Manager Tools one-on-ones would truly be successful. We were more focused in that case on determining how often, thinking the cadence mattered more than the setup, essentially.
Yeah. And I will say, let's go back to successful. If you're just joining Manager Tools, you haven't listened to any other cast, maybe this is your maiden cast. Great. Welcome to the community. It's large and growing and has been for 20 years. We're in our 20th year of doing this podcast. And when we say making Manager Tools one-on-one successful, there's a specific definition of that. And in order to make a one-on-one successful, it has to deliver against the manager's primary responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, the vast majority of managers don't know what their primary responsibilities are. No one told them. Look, if you're a software developer, they tell you, here's what we expect. Here's how we expect you to write code. Here's how we know how good you are based on how fast you are and how many deliverables you bring out in time and what the quality is and how often it's debugged and so on. A manager's most important responsibilities are results and retention. So when we started gathering this data, we could tell managers who were doing better. And when we say better, we don't just mean what we thought or what we felt or what the manager said about how they felt about their job, which is an important thing to feel good about your job. But it's a bad thing if you feel good about your job, but you're not reaching your primary responsibilities, right? So keep that in mind, folks. This all goes back to results and retention. And the reason we were focused on determining how often to have one-on-ones, there are two really big reasons for this. And at the time, and in my opinion, this is still somewhat true in 2025.
Very much so, I think.
Yeah. The big question everyone had and still has about one-on-ones was how often to have them. Mm-hmm. The fault line in the debate basically boiled down to lots of managers, the majority of them who felt, as I think you said earlier, Sarah, that they did not have time to do one-on-ones. Now, these managers knew that they themselves were inefficient or ineffective at their job internally. I like to say that managers look around at other managers in a meeting and everybody else has a relatively placid face. And because of our own guilt and fear at not really knowing, nobody ever taking us aside and saying, here are the basics. If you do these, you'll be fine. You look around, everybody else's face seems placid and calm, and you think, oh, they get it, and I don't. And I'm the only one in this room hiding their fear, uncertainty, and doubt, the FUD of being a manager, as opposed to the fun of being a manager. And the fact is, they're just like you. You also have a calm, placid face.
Yeah, they think the same thing of you, folks.
Exactly. And nobody knows, almost nobody knows what they're doing, except managers who are in our community or who have been included in our development in such a way, or their bosses have trained them after their boss got trained by us in our community, doing one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. And so they knew they weren't getting it right, but they didn't know what the right thing to do was,
right,
and nobody was telling them. And what happens is people get wedded to their way of doing things, even if it's inefficient, and they were wedded to their existing behaviors for fear that, well, I haven't gotten fired, I'm not getting in trouble, so I don't want to do something that I'm not certain about and then get in trouble for that when I could just go back to feeling the way I felt, pushing that down deep inside, always a good psychological technique, and I'll just stay where I am.
That's exactly it. I think one of the analogies that a lot more people are probably familiar with in this case is the force it takes to get a large object to move initially. So like a refrigerator, let's say.
Right. Yeah.
If you want to move a fridge, it takes a lot more force to get it to begin moving than it does to keep it moving. The principle of physics is called the difference between static and dynamic friction. The coefficient of static friction, what it takes to get something to move, is always higher than the coefficient of dynamic friction, the force it takes to keep it moving. Newton taught us that objects at rest tend to stay at rest. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. And managers suffer this same friction.
Yeah. Again, they didn't have any data. And by the way, folks, we have this. It's not an argument, but we'll call it an argument. We'll call it a disagreement with managers where they basically say, well, you know, you don't have enough data to convince me to change what I do. I'm like, really? 900,000 plus managers worldwide over 20 years? And you don't think? And then I say, well, what's your data? Because you're behaving as a manager. You must have a data set. Well, I guess my data set is what I do. So you have one manager. And I'd be willing to bet you're biased in favor of your own behaviors. And look, what they were saying is that less frequent one-on-ones, manager tools one-on-ones, MT03s, O3s, were better. Again, they didn't have the data to prove it, but basically, they didn't want to embark on something new that would take more effort, that static friction of changing, than what they're already doing, which is dynamic friction. And I can keep doing what I'm doing, and I kind of know how to do it. And again, I'm not in trouble. And look, let's be honest, you may be sitting there saying, oh, those old managers are dumb, but I'm smarter. But this makes sense even to all of us. We all want to do as little as we can in order,
yes,
to get the most value. We want to be not just effective, getting great value for the organization, for ourselves, for our people, but we also want to be efficient about doing it. Although I will say as an aside, Sarah, we're recording this on the Thursday after our first effective executive conference, mm-hmm, here in Pebble Beach. And I read a couple of Peter Drucker quotes to the group over the course of the couple of days that we were together with them. And one of the things that Drucker said is, Drucker never wrote this clumsily, but he said, it is really dumb to make something more efficient that shouldn't be being done at all. And Drucker talks over and over again for over 50 years he wrote about management. And he never got on a high horse about it, but he always brought up that there's all these things being done that shouldn't be done, and managers should stop them from being done. And I love that, because too many of us just let things keep going, and we don't want to kill projects, we don't want to stop reports and so on. And in fact, that's not good to get better at that report if nobody's reading it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So now, folks, going back to the data that Mark was talking about, this data, when we collected it initially, it's important to know of the collection around this data set.
Right.
We were going in blind. We also didn't know what would work best. I mean, we had some thoughts, we had some desires,
we had biases.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. But we didn't know.
Can I just say, sorry to interrupt, because I was there when we were collecting this data. We literally didn't know. And that actually was a plus.
Yeah.
If we had known that monthly or biweekly or weekly was better, we would have probably introduced some bias into the testing. So we'd have had to be more rigorous about our testing. Now, I felt terrible that we didn't know, even though no one knew. The data had never been collected before. But it turns out in hindsight that all my frustration about, I don't know how this is going to turn out. What if biweekly, meaning twice a week, one-on-ones are most effective? I'm not sure we're persuasive enough to sell that. Anyway, so I think that's a really important comment. We didn't know. We were literally experimenting.
I hate to interrupt the show, but did you know Manager Tools has a chatbot? From one-on-ones and feedback to coaching and delegation, all the way through to interview prep. Our chatbot helps you tackle challenges in real time so you can focus on results. Solutions at the speed of need. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's all yours. Check us out online today at manager-tools.com and become a Manager Tools licensee to gain access to the chatbot. Now, back to the show. Now, folks, you are today listening to Manager Tools. However, the large data sets that we collected at the beginning, when we learned a lot of these initial lessons, made these discoveries, if you will, was collected when we were called Horstman & Company, a consulting firm, pre-Manager Tools firm, which is currently how we have this derivation of data, these things that we now know to be true because of our predecessor, if you will.
Yeah.
And some of the people, let's call a spade, at Horstman & Company, really wanted the most effective, most efficient way of doing one-on-ones, which would essentially be monthly.
Right.
And it's because monthly and our ability to convince people to do one-on-ones monthly is much more easy. It's much easier to persuade a manager to do this one thing with each of their directs once a month than it is more often.
You can do weekly or you can do monthly. Monthly gets better results, but we really want you to try to do weekly.
Yeah.
The manager's going to go like, no, dude, you have not walked a mile in my shoes. No way.
Not doing it. Exactly. So just from like a persuasion perspective, it was kind of like, you know what? Let's all just cross our fingers and hope monthly is the one.
Yeah.
And if the data showed better results in retention with a minimum frequency of one-on-ones, that would be what we recommended. And it would be perfect. And we wanted to persuade with data and not opinions, which is why we sought out to make these discoveries at all, which is really, truly, that is data, the best way to come up with and then make these recommendations. Not necessarily all consulting firms have data to support it because they haven't run the experiments.
Right.
And that's the thing.
Yeah. And when you read a book from some former CEO and he says, or she says, you should do it this way, they have a data set of one.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, that's a good data set because she was a CEO. But in fact, you may have a very different behavioral style than her. You may not be a Harvard MBA, although that's overrated as a criteria for becoming an executive. One of my favorite executives in the world, who I'm good friends with and play golf with, didn't even graduate from high school.
Yeah.
But he's incredibly effective as a chief executive. Yeah. I hated when I was a manager and executive only hearing from individuals.
Yeah.
And it was all their opinion based on their experiences. Yes, 35-year career, lots of experiences, but.
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, all that to say, to be as clear as is possible, if the data did not show one-on-ones of any frequency leading to improvements in results and retention, we would not recommend one-on-ones. The only reason we recommend it is because it works. And we know it works. I sometimes say this jokingly at our conferences. If I had data to support the fact that if you stood in the corner of your office wearing a pink tutu, you'd have better results, I'd be handing out tutus.
Dude,
I don't have
not?
Any proof that that will get you there. I have proof this will work. Sometimes when people ask us questions at our conferences, if we don't have an answer, we're like, dude,
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't, sounds like it might work.
Yeah.
But I can't fall on my sword about what will work and not. I've not tested that thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just didn't know. We didn't know.
Yeah. And so the data basically rules our guidance, right?
Exactly.
And in our early data collection of the effectiveness of one-on-ones, again, measured against improvements in results and retention, it was about frequency because that was what managers were pushing back the most on. And, and in fact, when they were interested in one-on-ones, maybe they'd read Andy Grove's book. He did one-on-ones biweekly. I disagree with Mr. Grove, even though he's probably 10,000 times smarter than me. If you don't know Mr. Grove, look up Andy Grove, who was the CEO of Intel for a long time. We gathered data on over 100,000 managers worldwide. By the way, this is 100,000. That 100,000 is only in the first run of one-on-ones. When we also did feedback and coaching and delegation, there were hundreds of thousands more. We had gotten a lot better at gathering data and gotten more efficient of how we did it. And so that's how we end up with data on over 975,000 managers worldwide. Early studies had like 1,000 managers in them, and that was hard. And later ones had as many as 10,000. In some cases, there was some electronic data capture that helped us significantly expanded the number of managers we could keep tabs on. And in doing these studies in that first 100,000, we learned about what frequency was best.
Now, folks, if you've been to our Effective Manager Conference, or you may have listened to our podcast series called One-on-Ones, The Data,
right,
which outlines this and much, much more data around the one-on-ones, if you're familiar with it, you're going to know the basic outcome. Weekly one-on-ones outperformed bi-weekly one-on-ones and monthly one-on-ones significantly. Weekly Manager Tools one-on-ones were 2.5 times more effective than bi-weekly one-on-ones. And for my friends in Europe, that's fortnightly.
Yes.
One-on-ones every second week. And for us, the most surprising data was that monthly one-on-ones were not even as effective as not doing one-on-ones at all. I want to make that very clear for the people that are listening. I do not recommend you do this, but what I'm essentially saying is, if you're doing monthly one-on-ones, you, your team, and your organization would be better off if you did nothing at all. Again, I'm not condoning, I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying,
right,
monthly one-on-ones are worse than nothing. Not a good plan, dude.
Yeah, if you're reacting against weekly and say you can't do it, I always remind people that I taught two U.S. presidents to do one-on-ones while they were in the Oval Office and they did them weekly, so the president's busy, you're not, as I like to say. But if you're thinking, I just can't do it weekly, we understand, we respect that. But please don't do them monthly. Don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so now in the first three large studies of one-on-one frequency, the breakdown of improvements in results and retention were always the same. Weekly was best. Bi-weekly was only approximately 40% as effective, as I mentioned earlier, weekly was 2.5 times more effective, right? So bi-weekly, only approximately 40% as effective, and monthly one-on-ones actually decreased results and retention. Now, there were also control groups. That's how we could compare, right? And the control groups who were not even allowed to do one-on-ones, right, had no improvement in results and retention, and even doing nothing outperformed monthly one-on-ones. And I mean, because of this, we essentially stopped testing monthly one-on-ones. There's an ethical issue with going into your customer, knowing something's probably going to harm them in their organization and saying, but we want the data, please do it anyway. So we stopped testing it in the same way that a drug that underperforms a placebo has to have its testing stopped. So we just stopped testing monthly.
And there are some managers out there who say, I just can't do weekly, Mark, Sarah, Kate, yeah, Amanda, whomever. I'm going to do them biweekly. We said, that's fine. You'll spend about 50% of the time. You won't have many of the lovely ancillary effects. Like, for instance, if you do them weekly, we guarantee you'll get more time back in your calendar than you spend in one-on-ones. That's how good one-on-ones mm-hmm. are. They make you more efficient, and you get different and better communications in between your one-on-ones. If you do them biweekly, you're not going to get that. But again, think about that. You spend half as much time, and you only get 40% of the improvement. And as you mentioned, you had said 2.5 times. Yeah. 40% times 2.5 is the 100% at the top end of weekly one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Mark, yeah, as you're saying this, it occurs to me that, because I think you're right, I think there's probably people listening that are having like, their minds are kind of like exploding inside their mm-hmm. heads right now. It occurs to me that something we haven't really outlined for like the new members of the community is, every time we're saying one-on-ones here, we're referring to the manager tools model, whereby we recommend you meet with your directs in a very specific way.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things being done by a lot of people, and they call those things one-on-ones. Those right. things are not what we're talking about. Like, for example, I just was recently working with a client. They have got a meeting between managers and directs annually. They call it a one-on-one.
Right.
Because it is two people in the same room, no one else is there, and those people are talking a la one-on-one. So the term one-on-one can be used very generically. We're using that terminology to refer to a very specific activity.
Yeah.
And there's a podcast about it.
And it comes all out of the data, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We just finished up the EEC, Effective Executive Conference, our inaugural one. And afterwards, it was here in Pebble Beach, where we live, and I hosted two members of our community for golf who are fairly serious golfers and both friends of mine. And the reason for the golf was for me to introduce them, because one of them is the chief executive of a growing private equity funded firm. And my friend who he met with, and they rode in the same cart and I rode alone in my cart, and they spent the whole round talking to one another about work, because I was introducing them so that one of them could be on the board of the other one. And the one whose board the chief executive is going to join, commented to me that he had noticed on LinkedIn that I had commented it on a recent post about one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. Somebody very glibly said, hey, one of my directs, we're going to have our one-on-one. He didn't say how often they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, we're going to have our one-on-one, but my direct wrote in and says, I don't have anything this week. All my projects are green. I'm ahead of schedule on this. And he said, so we didn't have the meeting. I saved the time. We didn't need the check-in. We didn't need to go over where he was weak and so on. And I wrote my response, which I think got a number of likes, is I could not disagree with this more strongly. Right? This is not about checking on progress mm-hmm. alone. It's about building trust
yeah.
and communication and so on. Now, again, I didn't know how often this person was doing it. But anyway, my friend who I was golfing with saw the post and he said, why am I being shown this post? It was about one-on-ones and he's part of our community. And so maybe that was it. And then he saw my comment disagreeing mm-hmm. with a whole bunch of likes. And he was like, you know, after I read that comment from this guy, I thought, I wonder, there's Horseman's comment. I wonder what Horseman's going to say. And then he said, I should have guessed. You yeah. basically told him he's doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah. So we had good data about the frequency of one-on-ones. And those general numbers for results and retention, the improvements of results and retention, stayed pretty stable for all the future tests we ran as well. I think we ended up running 40 or 50 different, no, maybe it was closer to 70 different tests over a number of years. But in the overall data, remember now, folks, we're talking about scheduling here, but we haven't said anything about capturing data about scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
So we noticed some lumpiness in the data.
Is that a
we noticed that some
term?
Managers. Yeah.
Lumpiness?
It's,
like, yeah, it's what yeah, the it is. Statisticians yeah. use that. Lumpiness.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Yes.
Just checking.
With my PhD in statistics, of course. I know.
I just wanted to verify.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, sure. Thank you for making sure. We noticed that some managers, you have to dig into the data, and we had some data scientists. They weren't called data scientists back then, interestingly enough. We noticed that some managers who were doing weekly one-on-ones were getting much better results than other managers who were also doing one-on-ones weekly. Okay? Now look, it's okay to come up with the data and say weekly works best, but to have a non-uniform distribution of outcomes. And so we said, well, it's probably other factors. Some of these managers are better communicators naturally. They have particular expertise. Maybe their corporate culture is mandates one-on-ones. I don't know. It's something else that we weren't aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, folks, to Mark's point, there was this lumpiness that existed. And at this point in time, we're learning or trying to learn, discover all we can about one-on-ones. So instead of just ignoring this lumpiness, dug into the lumpiness and went back through all of the data and interviewed thousands of managers who both had notably better than the norm results, as well as those who had noticeable underperformance in terms of the average, but which still had overall increases in results and retention.
Right.
So we could compare to differentiate all of those managers who had an increase in results and retention, but why some more than others? And what we discovered was that the differentiator in results happened when managers had scheduled their one-on-ones with their directs. The scheduling effect was so significant that we learned that managers who scheduled bi-weekly or fortnightly one-on-ones outperformed managers who were doing unscheduled weekly one-on-ones, but still had them. Said another way, you could literally do 50% the one-on-ones and achieve better results if you just schedule them.
Yes. Now, to be clear, it's also true that scheduled bi-weekly beat unscheduled weekly, but scheduled weekly beat both of them by a lot.
Exactly. Totally. Right? Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, remember, guys, our goal with our studies and data collection at first was to determine only frequency. That's all we were looking for.
Yep.
That was the big fault line in the debate. We didn't train the initial tens of thousands of managers. Now, you could say, well, you should have trained them. Okay, fine. But we didn't. And we're honest about that. We didn't train all these thousands of managers to either brief their directs in advance, telling them what to do and how to do it and how one-on-ones work, which we now do based on further explanation of the data or digging into the data, nor did we tell them to schedule their one-on-ones. We did not know. Now, we admit, we assumed they would, but assumptions don't show up in data sets.
Yeah.
Because they had been telling us the whole point of figuring out the frequency first. And when we first started teaching it, we said weekly works best. And then only later did we add scheduled above weekly because they had told us they were too busy to do one-on-ones in many cases, right? So we assumed if they're that busy, of course they're scheduling their one-on-ones.
Right.
We assumed that if they didn't schedule them, they wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's been proven out by the data. It is, in order to find a manager who does weekly one-on-ones who are unscheduled, you have to survey 5x the number of one-on-ones. In order to get data, 5x of the number of managers who don't schedule them. If you're looking for data on, say, 1,000 managers about their unscheduled weekly one-on-ones, you have to study 5,000 of them, because only 1,000 of them, if they're unscheduled, will actually do them. There's a 1 in 5 rate, because managers don't even get through their whole calendar. They miss meetings and things don't get done and so on. The things that are most likely to get done are the things on your calendar. So we just assumed it, and we were wrong, and we know we're wrong, and we're admitting it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, folks. We actually discovered that our studies had skewed the data because, again, managers didn't have to schedule their one-on-ones if they knew we were going to check each week to ensure they were done.
Yep.
Right? Managers who didn't schedule their one-on-ones still had them because their organization had hired us to measure one-on-ones effects. So the one-on-ones were still happening, even though they were unscheduled, which, to Mark's point, probably wouldn't happen otherwise, because, as we've learned, people who don't schedule them don't do them.
And it's embarrassing to admit it, but, you know, a lot of times you read data and you're like, well, I'd like to know more about that data. Well, we didn't know what we're looking for precisely. And there were things we didn't know. And so we didn't test for. And we didn't know. In fact, we weren't asking them what day of the week their one-on-ones were. We would validate with their directs, did you have one-on-one? We discovered that if one-on-ones are unscheduled and they were in our study, that the majority of their one-on-ones happened on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, I'm like, yeah.
And by the way, when we accounted for that in the future data sets that we looked at, as we'll show you a little bit later, Thursday is fine. If you have all your one-on-ones on Thursday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Monday afternoon or whatever, it's fine. We don't recommend Friday, and we'll explain why, but yeah.
Exactly. So folks, as you might imagine, when we started training managers to schedule their one-on-ones, like we actually said, put them on your calendar, schedule them.
Yes.
Results and retention scores went up even further. All of that to say, scheduling matters according to all of our data.
Yep. And that's why when we say, what are one-on-ones, what are manager tools one-on-ones, we say there are five non-negotiables. Scheduled, that's first. Weekly, 30 minutes. The direct goes first and the manager take notes. Those are the five things that our data have showed us are the core behaviors. There are other things you can do to be better. There are other things you can do to make them worse, but those are the five things that comport with the latest data we gathered on tens of thousands, actually toward the end, hundreds of thousands of managers.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Join us again next week as we finish today's topic.